How do we stay in tune or have an understanding of our soul? And what does it mean, soul? How do we find wholeness? And how do we create that ever-important connection to ourselves so that we might be open, ready, and able to be in connection with others? What are the obstacles that get in the way of these connections? And what does yoga have to do with any of this? Well, let's start with the word soul. There are many ways to define this. One definition describes it as the non-physical aspects of a person. Another is a person's emotional and moral nature, where the most private thoughts and feelings are hidden. However, my favorite definition is short and to the point. A person's total self, mind, body, and spirit. And what about yoga? Yoga refers to a traditional physical and mental discipline, a practice. It also means union, the union of body with consciousness and consciousness with the soul. Yoga cultivates ways of maintaining balance and flexibility. So more simply, for our purposes here today, yoga can be defined as a unifying practice. A unifying practice for your total self. Yoga for your soul. To know myself, to be in conscious connection with myself, I must know and be in touch with all parts of me. I have a mind, an intellectual ability to analyze and deconstruct, as well as problem solve and create. I have a body with which to move physically through the world and to experience a myriad of sensations. And a spirit, a life force, a higher self, the capacity to experience awe and wonder, to feel a wide range of emotions, and a portal through which I can perceive my understanding of the divine. So how do we create this unifying practice? How do we involve all the components of ourselves in a way that brings us closer to self-knowledge and connection and harmony? Deepak Chopra and David Simon in the book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Yoga, claim that yoga serves and nourishes us at every level of our being and spontaneously contributes to the greater well-being in all domains of our life. With the body, we use breath and focused intentional movement. The body gains strength, flexibility, and balance. Spiritual practices, they exist in all traditions and all cultures. The techniques are different, but the goal is usually the same: to calm the mind and integrate the higher aspects of our being, our higher self, our soul, our spirit, into the lower self, our ego, personality, our body. And mind practices. Can we involve our mind in a unifying practice, one that engenders connection and harmony? In creating a conscious, unifying connection, we can sometimes get caught up in the quandary that spirit and intellect are mutually exclusive characteristics, or that we need to get out of our heads to connect with ourselves or experience spiritual growth. Some people equate spirituality with contemplative practices such as silent meditation rather than, say, reading a good book on astrophysics or engaging in a lively discussion about the psychology of politics. Yet throughout time and across cultures, it has long been recognized that reason and rationality are among many paths to the discovery of deep truth. For example, in Hinduism, there are 5 primary paths leading to the same goal of realization: Hatha Yoga for the body, Karma Yoga for the will, Bhakti Yoga for feeling, Raja Yoga for the mind, and Jnana Yoga for knowing. And while it may indeed be true that many people can get stuck in their heads and miss out on what Margot Adler refers to as the juice and mystery, it is by no means a direct correlation that the use of the intellect requires one to be blinded to the miraculous. Albert Einstein said that he knew his special theory of relativity was correct, not because all of the equations added up, but because it was beautiful. In fact, many of the world's most rational thinkers find that the more they learn, the more their appreciation for the majesty and magnificent mystery of life grows as well. So along with personal spiritual practices and body practices, it is important to include also the importance of actively involving our minds. This too is essential if we're to have a whole and well-rounded knowledge of and connection to ourselves and establish and maintain harmony. Many people do identify themselves with their mind, intellect, and ego. It is simply a component of the whole and one avenue for spiritual practice. One way to connect with yourself is to consciously consider these questions. Who am I? How do I relate to the relationships in my life with my family, my friends, my coworkers, the world, nature and the environment, and to the cosmos? Think about these questions from a grounded place. Focus with intention on where the answers take you. These questions are a direct line to connecting with the core of who you are. Regularly bringing these questions to your conscious thought, either quietly or in a lively discussion with others, is one way to enable you to be alert to the opportunities that resonate with the needs of your soul. Having a practice for our total selves, which brings us closer to an understanding of the question, who am I, results in connection with self in a deeper, richer, fuller experience. And this leads to deep and rich opportunities to connect with others, nature, and if you will, the divine, in whatever form that it takes for you. Each and every moment of each and every day presents us with opportunities for engaging in a practice or yoga for all the areas of our lives. Raising kids, making a living, choosing how to spend money, how much or how little of we have, choosing how we spend our time, the kind of car we drive, the food we eat, the way we care for our bodies, the way we care for our significant relationships, the way we treat our housemates and coworkers. Each of these provides us with opportunities to be conscious in the way we live our lives. Each offers opportunities to make choices, to walk our talk, and to engage in our lives and our living with integrity and intention. These opportunities are at the heart of connection to our souls. But this requires intention, discipline, commitment, and accountability. For example, you could pick up a musical instrument that you've never touched before and declare that whatever you play is music. And in a certain sense, you would be right. However, most everyone else would more likely call it noise rather than music. And only with some amount of regular, disciplined practice can we increase the ratio of music to noise. The same is true for our spiritual life. To be focused and fully present in all that we do is to be in intention, and to commit to this discipline keeps us accountable and in connection and tends toward harmony. Whether we look to religion, philosophy, or some other external source, most of us instinctively seek a way to unify our mind, body, and spirits. How ironic, then, we should find the means to connection within ourselves. By stifling and numbing any part, we begin to separate body from mind and both from spirit. By awakening and bringing consciousness and presence to our minds, bodies, and spirit, we return to the fundamental truth that the whole self is made up of many parts. In the 2nd century BC, Greek physician and priest Asclepiades understood that the human being was a multifaceted whole and that well-being depended on emotional, physical, and spiritual health. His remedies were directed to the restoration of harmony. Before he would treat a patient, the ailing person had to go through introspective rituals to uncover personal imbalances and surmount irrational fears. He apparently also included a lot of wine with his treatments. We in the West lost our respect for the importance of harmonious inner balance, and in turn we seem to lose the intimate spiritual connection we were meant to have with the world around us. Though many of us have maintained a therapeutic relationship to wine. I ask you to consider life without connection, without a practice that unifies body to consciousness and consciousness to soul. What is it like to live just in our heads? What is it like to live just in our bodies? In what ways can you remind yourself, or has life reminded you, that you are a unity, mind, body, and spirit? Our bodies, as well as our minds, can be spiritual teachers. We can learn from physical ability and disability, from wellness and disease. Physical experiences like dancing, mountain climbing, love making, and giving birth can offer spiritual revelation. So take time to focus. Be attentive to what you are doing and thinking. Periodically ask yourself, who am I? I invite you to live consciously. Acknowledge the areas of yourself that may be out of tune. Find time to give attention to all areas of yourself. Listen to yourself and others. Be present. Find and nourish the connection with yourself, and in doing so, enjoy the connections with others and the world around you. Live your life as a unifying practice. Seek balance and harmony. Nourish your soul. Be conscious every day. Now I invite you to stand as you are willing and able, and join us in singing hymn number 1008 in your teal hymnal, When My Heart Is in a Holy Place.